Will he tip the card?
I know I've said it before, but given the series of events that leads me into your studio today, Michael, I think there is something happening. There's something in the air.
We'll tip the card here.
I'll tip the card this weekend.
Mick Sharkey joins Racing Pulse to preview the big races in Friday Form Focus.
It's that time of the week, Friday Form Focus, where we put all our worries aside, fear of the current world that we're living in, and just focus on making cold, hard cash at the Valley tomorrow. Sharknado is here. How are you, Sharky?
I'm the antithesis of the stress in your life, Michael. All I do is bring joy.
That is true.
Just my sunny disposition, carefree, happy-go-lucky nature.
Joy or a
COVID-19?
Joy or a distraction, really?
Yeah, well, I think it's probably the latter.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You're wearing thongs, shorts. It's a beautiful sunny day, but it was 4 degrees this morning.
I went for a run this morning, and I drastically underestimated the temperature outside and went running in singlet and shorts. But then once you heat up, then you can't cool down. So I look like a crazy person if I get around in a T-shirt and shorts. So I've gone the jumper and the beanie, just to try and keep the top half warm. You've got to insulate. But, yeah, it was
good. It's remarkable weather we're having at the moment.
And gorgeous.
This will lead us to our first guest, because yesterday, can you believe they had to irrigate the track at Bendigo?
Wow.
They've had to irrigate the track at Geelong for today's meeting. And here we are, end of July, talking about good tracks. I wonder what we're going to be racing on tomorrow at the Valley. Marty Sinan joins us. Good morning, Marty. How are you, mate?
Morning, Michael. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. Now, tell me, have you had to put any water on your Moonee Valley track? We haven't had much rain recently.
No, I haven't. But with this track just being winter, it does hold a little bit more moisture. So with that, I just haven't had to. It's currently a soft 5, going to the 8.9. We probably need the wind to get up for us to get to a good 4. So, yeah, we'll start off on that soft 5, and then hopefully if the wind picks up, we'll get to a good 4.
I know the rail's back in the true position. It's a while since we've been on the true at Moonee Valley. Does that mean you want to be on the fence, drawn to be up against the rail, especially in the first few races?
I'd say yes. We haven't raced in the true for 19 weeks, so we and Reed Stakes were the last time we were in the true, and then our meeting in July were out 4 metres, and then that transferred Ballarat meeting were out 6. So out past the 6 metres, there's a little bit of wear and tear, very minimal, but that inside 4 metres especially is in really good order. And if you look at the program tomorrow, I think we've got a mile for the first race, and we've got 3,000, so that means around the back they're not going to be running on that track until about race 5. So that part of the track should be in great order, and yeah, I'd say the rail is the place to be.
Marty, is there any section of the track that's holding more moisture than others? Is the straight, you know, a grade better than, say, down the side, or is it an even sort of soft 5 across?
Yeah, no, it is pretty even right across, but in saying that, with the valley, in the winter months when the sun's not as high, the school side, so from about the 800 to, say, the 200, just gets into shade a lot quicker in the day, like the trees on the outside of the track start to shade that part of the track, so it doesn't dry out as quick as, say, the city side of the track, so that side of the track is a genuine soft 5, and then you get around to the straight and Dean Street, and it is probably a genuine good 4. But in saying that, I have put extra staff on tomorrow to rake that part of the track back, so if the horses do get into it, we'll rake it back in between each race, and they should be on a good surface for every race.
All right. Have you got a winner for us? Does anything catch your eye tomorrow?
I actually haven't had a look. I think I tipped the winner last meeting, but I actually haven't had a look, so I might get one in the morning. I'll have a study today and see if I can find one.
Well, I like that. Do your homework tonight, and we'll get one off you tomorrow, Marty.
No worries. Thanks, Michael.
Marty Sinan joining us here. And I think it's going to be fascinating how this track does play early doors because of that rail movement back to the true. And there's a horse that we'll get to a little later, Brooklyn Hustle, who, you know, she gets back and runs on. Will you be able to make ground tomorrow at the Valley? How are you expecting it to play?
Well, the point that Marty made about down the side of the track being, you know, in more shade than the rest of the track is a massive factor, because it effectively means if you are on speed, you're coming out of that softer ground before the other horses. So you're potentially going from a soft 5 to a good 4 while others are still in a soft five and chasing. So it's a fair old advantage with the rail back to the true as well. You'd expect that horses up on the speed or near the speed would have an edge.
Quaddie looks tricky, but there's a few races where there's a couple of shorties. How do you see the meeting overall?
Very tough. Very tough. There's only, what, two open handicaps on the whole card. The rest are benchmark races. You know, it's hard work.
All right. Well, don't let that dampen your enthusiasm.
No, I'm still enthusiastic. Don't worry about that. How can you not be? Look, you survived the plague this week and you're all tested clean and all that sort of thing. That's good.
Go out there, everyone, because we are in a terrible situation at the moment. If you've got a sniffle, if you've got a sore throat, get a bloody test.
Yeah, that's right.
I've had a test. Everyone except one in our family's had a test. It's not that arduous. It comes back within 2 days, and that's what we need to be doing. There's a few things you probably need to be tested for, though, Sharky. Have you had a COVID test?
No, not as yet, because I'm a picture of health.
Well, you're healthy.
You're not looking like you're believing
me. Not the picture, but you're healthy, which is good, and that's what we want to see. I tell you what we do want to see is a winner in the first. Victoria Star, you look at the race on paper, you go, this is its race. But drawn 7 of 7, 1,600, where's it going to be in the run? Algalail draws to get behind the leader on the fence. Do you want to be with the $1.90 favourite or Algalail at around about $3.40, or could there even be an upset outside of the two favourites?
Well, Victoria Star is the obvious one on the form when you look at it, isn't it? Like Heptagon form, third in a winter championship, etc., etc. Yeah, he was. I don't think he's the most genuine horse, though, up to this grade. I think this fella is
not
a bit
genuine.
He's a bit of a Goldilocks horse. Needs everything to be absolutely
he's
right.
5 from 10.
Yeah.
How much more genuine do you want?
He's been winning in benchmark 70s, though, when it's been literally just put to him on a plate.
So he's had one run at listed company, and he's run third out of
his... It's okay. Got his head up a little bit, and, I wasn't, like, sitting there going, this is great. Gee. Yeah, got it. You watch that last bit of the race. He had his head high and to the side when he's under pressure. He was running on well, but I just don't know if he's completely there yet. I certainly couldn't take $1.90 about him in this race. It's a very trappy start to the program because of the map. He's drawn 7, so where does Craig Newitt go? You wouldn't think that he'd be wanting to kick up where he could get caught 3 wide because the speed looks to be exasperate. Possibly Prince Siggy, No Effort's has shown pace in the past. They've all drawn inside gates, and My Winner, he's not going very well, but he's, to be fair, he's had some pretty bad injuries. He has shown pace in the past. Algalail would want to kick up and hold a box seat. And Froggy Knew It, unless he comes out really pumping and wanting to go forward and lead, which I don't think he'll want to do because we haven't seen that from the horse in the past, I think he'll be back.
If he bounces, he could go forward, sit outside later, or try his luck.
Well, he could, but that's assuming that horses like
back.
Exasperate, Algalail, Prince Ziggy, No Effort, don't want to kick up and be in a similar position because they're all drawn to sort of land in that first 3 or 4 without doing any work. Froggy's in an awkward spot there. I think he has to be conservative early and look to run on. I think he's a risk at odds on.
Right. Where do you go? Because we spoke to Dave Eustace and he said, look, it looks a good race for Algalail. I'd ideally like to see him on the fence behind the leader, but 1,600 again is the one concern. Will he be quick enough having another run at the mile?
If you go back and look at his form earlier in his career, he was racing on speed and winning over 1,600. I've got a feeling he was doing that at the Valley too, once upon a time. So I don't think he's too slow to sort of hold a position. It's just how they want to ride him. And in recent times, they've let him just balance up and find a spot. Exasperate might be the horse that can be handy from 5 and get that stalking run. I think this is he's fresh from an 8-week break. I think this is a really messy start. I certainly wouldn't be tumbling into the $1.90 about Victoria Star, but there's nothing else there I really want to back to beat him.
All right. Well, a lot of punters would have been saying, there's the first leg of my multi.
Victoria, good luck with that.
$1.90.
He may well win, but leave me out $1.90 on that map.
All right, so for you, tread warily at this stage.
Very warily.
There's no definitive on topper from you?
No.
All right. That's the first race, $1.90 Victoria Star. Second race is another one. There's a bear in there at $2.15, which is quite short in the market. But if you heard Richard Jolly, I don't know if he'd want to tumble into the 215 as well, because he said, look, I don't think he's anywhere near an even money 215 chance. And he has drifted since that interview, 210 out to 215. He's a horse that has shown great speed in his two wins in South Australia. He's drawn probably to get to the front again over the 1,000 at the Valley. It's a track that looks like it will suit it, but only a little horse, and I was left a little deflated from what Richard Jolly had to say, and he's a pretty honest and astute trainer. What are your thoughts?
This Baron there is really quick, but there's some quality in this race. I thought Hard Landing, when you look at Hard Landing's form, here's a horse that beat eight subsequent winners on debut in a Group 3 down the straight, including two stakes winners, including the Blue Diamond winner. It's a fair old form line for a winter off-season race, and he's copping $6? Are you serious?
But he's had a throat, he's had the wind operation.
That's okay, he's jumped out all right, so he's actually, his most recent jump out, he looks really sharp in that. So I'm thinking that he's well and truly capable of winning this first up, and I'll take him ahead of There's a Bear in there. I don't think the three that we've seen, that we're going to see on debut, are up to that sort of stake standard if Hard Landing turns up at his very, very best. Keep On Fighting found the line well enough in its trial. See You Later On was up there on speed but ridden out in the recent Cranbourne heat, and likewise the Cruiser, there was one that tried a little bit better than it at Pakenham recently. I think,
well, the Bald Eagle did give the Cruiser a bit of a hope yesterday.
Yeah, I heard that. I probably wasn't as enthusiastic about it, but respect Glenn's opinion on that trial. Jabali Ridge is probably the one that's race fit and right there to, you know, say, oh, what about me? Because he is going quite well. I don't think he was suited leading down the straight last time. He probably goes back from seven, so it's an awkward gate for him. I'm just looking at the speed in the race, and I'm thinking There's a Bear in there is probably it from four, with Hard Landing from five. I think Hard Landing could put pressure on, and he's a better horse.
Doesn't Diesel Dust just get the perfect run with Ollie on board behind? Gee, I was impressed with its win at Wodonga. Yes,
it's yeah, solid
a step
win
up in class, but if there's question marks around a few of the others, it might be the one that gets the right run.
Well, we saw Diesel and Dust beaten by McCain and Melba Storm. That's kind of levelled out at midweek form. Both of those horses went and ran at Sandown Hillside behind Dennis Pagan's horse. Melba Storm ran fourth in that race as favourite. Miss Divine M comes through, or has beaten Diesel and Dust in the past. It's kind of thereabouts. Miss Bassetti. So I think Diesel and Dust form at the moment is more on that provincial circuit rather than in town.
All right. If you've got a question for Sharky, you want to bag him, you want to praise him, whatever you want.
Whatever you like.
0416 90 50 52.
Cooking advice.
Send them through. Cooking advice.
I'll tell you what.
You do fancy yourself as a little amateur Jamie Oliver. You love to put the Insta stories up of what you're cooking.
It's not so much because I think I'm a good cook. I just get bored and I like to entertain myself with random stuff. But I picked up some pork this week from a good mate of mine, Ed. And
I hope he's your butcher.
Yeah, of sorts. And it is outstanding meat. It's nearly the best pork I've ever had.
On the spit?
I tried the chops last night, just sort of roasted them in the oven. Yeah, with some apple and onion, bit of apple juice just in the bottom of the thing, soy and some Manuka honey on top. Yeah, it was very good. Just fell off the bone.
You gotta have pork with a crackling, though.
Yeah, but it's a bit hard to get crackling off a chop.
It is. That's what you got to get the spit going.
Don't worry, I've got four entire legs quartered in the freezer.
You're more of a seafood man, because today is the perfect day. Are you going out in the tinny?
No, I'm not. I'm waiting for the tow bar to be attached to the new car.
Because you need to catch some fish.
Well, calamari are going very, very well at the moment, and this spate of sunny weather without much rain gives you great water clarity. So high light, low light. If you get down around Sorrento or Tyre Bank or Quail Bank in Western Port, you'll just be annihilating the big callers.
Are you allowed to go down there?
Yeah, that's all in the lockdown
area.
So
you can go wherever you want in your boat?
Well, as long as you're in the lockdown area, I would assume.
What can you catch in the bay?
In the bay. Here? Well, much the same. So get down to Mount Eliza. It's a little bit of a run from Mordialloc, but you can do it.
So, okay. Calamari is what you're catching?
At the moment, in wintertime, yeah. Oh, yeah. Beautiful, clean.
Any flatties?
Flatties are a little bit hard to come by. by any size at the moment. They've sort of gone off by about early May, first week of May, the big blue spots are kind of finished in Port Phillip.
We should do this every week now that people are in lockdown, and fishing is one of the few things you can do along with having a hit of golf, is that as well as providing the winners on a Saturday, you can give Sharky's number one fishing tip. Like,
well, the best thing, if you've got bored kids at home...
The fishing hole to guarantee getting you fish.
Oh, to guarantee getting you fish. If you've got kids and you just want to catch, you just want them to catch something.
You don't want any parodies.
No. Go to one of the tackle shops, get yourself some rainbow power bait, and go to one of the suburban lakes because they're all full of trout. And the kids just love it. They just catch them and then it's happy days.
A suburban lake.
Yeah. Like, you know, Carkrook Park up here in Warragul Road. That's full of fish.
Right. Okay. Well,
trout, Murray cod.
If you've got a fishing
yellow belly,
send it through. Because we yet to see much. We did see a few months ago. You brought some fish around.
Some whiting. Yeah.
Been a very barren couple of weeks.
Well, I wasn't allowed to go out for about 2 months. So, you know, be fair.
All right. Recapping race two.
Oh, sorry. We're talking about a racing show, isn't it?
With or against?
I'm against. I'm with Hard Landing.
Hard Landing.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know what? I reckon our next guest would be a fisherman.
Who's that?
Would Lloyd Kennewell be a fisherman?
Lloyd Kennewell?
He looks like a fisherman.
Come on. Somebody be putting the bait on the hook for him. Lloyd, have you seen his Instagram work?
Lloydie,
he's
Lloyd
sort of more pit bull.
Lloyd, pardon me. Do you hang a line at all?
No way, no. And I've got a bloke that catches it, fillets it and delivers it, which is Joe Bowditch. He's as good as shark, I reckon. No better. So.
He's been hitting me up for secret spots lately.
Yeah, I've heard that. Well, he's a bit new in town. If you went to Adelaide, he's the king of the castle, and over here he needs a little bit of help. So I would think that if you can help him out, Shark, he'll teach you a thing or two.
All right, sounds like you and I are the same. We want our fish served to us already caught and filleted. Perfect.
Yeah.
Hey, you would have been a proud...
in a day to actually go and do that sort of thing. I think Shark's overpaid and underworked.
There is no doubt about that. That's the most intelligent thing anyone's ever said on this program. Hey, you would have been a proud man the other day watching Vedora go through the ring.
Yeah, it was good. Obviously, she was obviously super to us, and it's always good to see them find a new home, and we'll be able to see her down here in Victoria, which is great. Yulonga put their neck on the line to pay a lot of money for her, and it was good. It was good to see Henry and Tom get a good result as well from Newgate because they put their neck on the line to buy from us, and they obviously made a nice little profit as well.
Will you be charging to put your hand up when a progeny does hit the ring, Lloydie? Does sentiment come into it with racehorse trainers when you're looking at yearlings?
I think you've got to draw a line in the sand a little bit, Shark. I think you need to just take all the horses on face value. Look, they're probably easier to syndicate from a trainer's point of view, but you've actually got to buy the right horses, and I try and actually keep the emotion out of it and find the right horses. So we'll definitely be looking at what she produces, and we'll find out in years to come whether she's a good producing mare or not. A lot of the mares that win big races for some reason just leave it on the track a bit, but no, we'll definitely look at it.
Is Esther LaRocca the right horse in race 3 at Mini Valley tomorrow? It was good to see, I guess, the speed that she'd been showing in jump outs at Cranbourne at her second start. She just made it a one-act affair.
Yeah, she was very good. We were very confident going into that run second up that if she crossed the fence, she was going to be awfully hard to beat. She's got brilliant gate speed, and she ran them ragged and ran half a second quicker than the benchmark 70 on the day. So that franked it, and this is a good little race to kick off the new season. But I think the barriers have big significance, and if she can jump cleanly and find the front, she's going to be hard to beat, I would think.
Is that the plan, try and get to the fence?
Well, why not? That's what we did the other day. You would think that's pretty clear that what she did. She's got good gate speed and she's got a high cruising speed, so I think that's definitely the way to go, Michael.
Has she taken much improvement, or was she at her peak for that second up run?
You can't hurt her. She licks the feed bin every day of the week, which is great to see because she's just a neat filly. She's not huge, she's not little, she's right in between, and you can't hurt her. She does her work. She's very horseman-like and workman-like. So it's good to see that she can do that. And her gallop was terrific on Tuesday. I'd expect her to be as good as she was second up. And I think if she can run those sort of sectionals and run like that, she's going to take a bit of running down around the valley if the fence is on.
Is it a similar story with Sweet Snitty in the ninth?
I don't think so. I think there's a fair bit of good speed in that race, and he's a horse that's obviously looks like he's got a lot of weight, but I think when you actually go through that race, a lot of the horses with these elevated weight system, there's a big fault in the weight system here at the moment in Victoria. This is probably not the ideal race to say that, but horses that are 20 rating points from the bottom to the top, there's 2.5 kilos between the spread, which is just ridiculous. It's not right. And there's a big hiccup with that, and a lot of trainers have working that out, that horses are not well weighted on the minimum anymore. So it's quite interesting that. But that horse, as you can see, he's going to get in with 61. The minimum's 58. He's going around 3 over the minimum. So I would think that he's not that badly done by. But he's a horse that's got a chance in what I would say is an open race first up.
You got a couple going to Donald. Have you got a sneaky one tomorrow at Donald?
Look, I think the first one actually goes nice. She sort of ran down the track first up on the poly track on a power bush. Her work's been really nice for a Donald maiden. I'm going to have a sneaky little each way bet, but I would think the Trent Busserton's horse is clearly the one to beat.
What about Farlap? Why'd you scratch Farlap today?
Yes, we've been waiting for this.
Farlap. I don't train Farlap.
Akaka Falls.
Yeah, Shark's tied up with the now favourite, and I just got a little bit scared, so I pulled him out.
Oh, but it obviously goes well, because I think every WhatsApp group that any half-baked punter's on was tipped Akaka Falls today, so you obviously have some opinion of the horse.
I'm in probably half of those WhatsApp groups, and I got the tip about my own horse as well. So
yeah, quite interesting.
But he's a nice horse. He's worked really well and done everything right. And until this morning, he had a high temperature this morning, so we had to pull him out, unfortunately. But he'll just wait for another day. But he's a nice horse. But I think people are getting a little bit carried away over a 650 jump out at Caulfield. But he was good, and he's a nice progressive horse.
Is there any response? Do you feel any responsibility when things do get, you know, the jungle drums start beating and, you know, Chinese whispers starts and a horse that's jumped out well and has shown a bit suddenly looks like it's a Group 1 horse according to the mayonnaise that gets added along the journey? Do you feel any responsibility if when they go out and, you know, if they fail, that people have maybe been misled?
It's outside noise, Shark, so you sort of got to put it to bed a little bit, really. I think the guys that are all in that horse in particular are quite accomplished people and know what racing's like. And look, he jumped out nice last preparation. He jumped out nice this preparation. But in fairness, if you speak to anyone that's trained at Caulfield for a fairly long time, you take the 650s with a grain of salt. They're turning the whole way, and usually whatever leads wins. So I think everyone got a little bit carried away, to be honest. But he's a nice horse, and he'll kick off when he's right in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I think that the WhatsApp groups and all the stories that get flung around these days definitely put a lot of hype on, unfair hype, on unraced horses from the jump out. And we don't have trials to go over to at the moment, which is probably the big problem we've got. Obviously, everyone's doing the right thing with COVID, and we just can't get to Cranbourne for trials or away to another track for trials. So that's probably just a little fault that we've got in our system at the moment.
Well, Lloyd, it sounds like we should be having a little something on the $9 Estella Rocker tomorrow. Is that the play?
Yeah, look, I think she'll run really well. I think she's probably overs at that. In fairness, it's a very neat race. I think there's some nice horses in there. But if she can just naturally progress from what she did the other day, I think most of the guys that do the ratings these days think that she rated really well the other day because of the time and the way she went. So I think she'll be right there if everything goes right for us.
Good luck tomorrow, Lloydie.
Thanks, boys.
This tomorrow is one of the most interesting races. It's probably my highlight of the day. And we should make mention, too, well done to Moonee Valley. The Australian Jockeys Association, it is Jockey Celebration Day.
Yes.
A number of the races are named in honour of the jockeys who have given their life in shocking circumstances, but they will never be forgotten. And race number 3 is the Andrew Gilbert and Gavin Lisk handicap over 1,000 metres. So to all of those families out there, tomorrow is a very important and special day of remembrance and celebration, the National Jockey Celebration Day. Race 3, Sharky, who are you with here? Good push from Troy Corson's earlier, Clean Machine.
Mm.
Peggy Selene's got the form on the board.
Does.
Which way are you leaning?
I'm with Clean Machine. I think she gets a great sit here on Lloyd's horse, Estella Rocker, which from 2 should be able to cross Cirrus and lead. Clean Machine in three is good gate speed as well. Should be able to just come and sit outside it, or you know, stalk it, whatever John Allen wants to do. Peggy Celine in four. She was hung out to dry last time, just could not get in. No fault of the riders, just the way the race unfolded, and she was very wide throughout. It took a subsequent stakes winner to run her down. It was very, very good run from Peggy Celine. She's in four, so she'll be sort of there as in that similar sort of spot to Clean Machine. I think one of the two wins. The two class runners up the top of the handicap, A Beautiful Night, running midfield or thereabouts, let's call it, in a blue diamond. I think that's pretty solid form for this. And before that, she was a Group 3 winner of the preview. Don't know if the form has really worked out of that race to a really high standard, but still, she's a Group 3 winner, and she's effectively done her job for Connections long term. But she is one to watch off the jump outs, which have been okay. And Geist gives away a fair old head start. She's the other one with the stakes form in the race, but I'm expecting this track to favour those horses nearer the rail and nearer the inside. So they're the two class runners, but they've drawn 11 and 10 respectively. So a little bit tricky for them out there.
Is this a confident play, 440 Clean Machine?
I would save on Peggy Celine. I could back them both.
All right, Clean Machine on top of Peggy Celine in the third. We'll quickly have a look at race number four before we take a break. Pardon me, this is the Mark Goring and Adrian Ledger handicap over 1,000 metres. This is the interesting runner of the day, Brooklyn Hustle. What do we do? She's at $2.60. How will the track be playing? She's drawn barrier four. You can't forget her first ever appearance at Moonee Valley, where she got back to last and she absolutely spanked. Yes, yes, yes. Since then, we haven't seen much of her, although looking at her form line from her last start, running fifth, just touched off fourth in a Coolmore, you'd be saying, how does she get beaten in this race? But the race pattern and the shape of the day will tell the tale. Are you with or against Brooklyn Hustle?
I'm with her. I think if there's a horse that's going to be able to overcome it on the day, it's going to be her. She's got such a good turn of foot. She has jumped out nicely at Mornington. She was not let off the chain there at all. But her gallops either side of that have been very, very good. She ran some serious time there on the training track last week. I think she's back. She's well placed to win this, and there's plenty of speed in the race. So she's going to be able to sling that, you know, to sort of catapult that last little bit, I think, off the corner. I think she's clearly the one to beat. And despite the fact the track might play to those inside, she's the bet of the day.
She's a good price too.
Yeah, and that's the reason I'm sort of coming back to her. I prefer her ahead of a horse like Victoria Star, because she has got that pressure in her race, a good yarn, etc. You know, they're not going to wait around here. They're going to get really rolling in front. She's going to be back and able to charge over the top. And I think at the price, given her class in this lineup, she can win.
She's $2.60. Is the only query Dwayne Dunn might need to be a bit of a duck and dive weave through the field?
Yeah, maybe. He might just play the percentages and just try and come around them and use that turn of foot. If he does that, she should be too good.
Clearly on top for you, Brooklyn.
Clearly,
Hustle.
Yeah.
Bet of the day, $2.60 Brooklyn Hustle in race number four. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to Friday Form Focus. After this, we'll drill down on the fifth and then the quaddie at the Valley.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome back to Friday Form Focus with the Shark. Keep those SMSs coming, 0416 90 50 52. I've got a couple of SMSs coming your way, Sharky.
Yeah.
A couple of interesting ones too.
Well, okay.
This one from Jack.
Jackie boy.
It was about this time last year that Sharky tipped us into the Caulfield Cup and Cox Plate winner. Have you got any thoughts early doors this year?
Give me a week, Jack.
Sharky's homework.
I'll have it all for you tomorrow.
Next Friday.
Next Friday, I'll have it all.
Sharky's early Caulfield, Cox Plate and Melbourne Cup plays.
Mm.
We'll put that in the vault. Great SMS from you, Jack. All the RSN listeners will be very pleased. Next week, the pressure is on. Fair dinkum, Sharky. Stop sitting on the fence. Have a go in race one. That's from Michael in Brisbane.
I love Michael in Brisbane. See, he's very chirpy up there in Brisbane because Brisbane...
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, well, if you're a Queenslander right now, you're existing unfettered, aren't you? Whereas down here...
Home of the AFL.
It is home of the AFL. Are they playing... Where would the grand final be?
It'll be up there.
Will it?
The way we're going, it'll be up there. Sharky, your flog, Monica Honey.
Yeah.
Did you have Card Danny? Well, I don't even know what that is with that. Ha ha ha. There's nothing wrong with
oh,
that.
Oh, Chardonnay.
There you go. Chardonnay.
I think he wants me to say Manuka.
Manuka, is that what it is?
Monica, Manuka.
It is. It's Manuka Honey, isn't it?
Is it?
Now, the other one is, that sounds delicious.
I love how we're getting picked up on the pronunciation of honey.
Well done. It is Manuka Honey, yeah. And that is why Cardinal. Yeah, very.
Monica,
that
Manuka.
Was well over my head, so well done, that SMS. Sounds delicious. Had a beautiful pork belly with amazing crackling last night.
Yes.
That way pork is unbeatable.
I'm picking up some pork belly last night. That's what I've got to get from the farm. What's that?
And I don't know whether it's a positive or a negative, that most of them are about food-related issues, not asking you your thoughts on anything.
There's a movement. There's a food movement.
Or is it just something about your tips?
Well, yeah.
Race number five at the Valley.
Probably
tomorrow.
On point as well.
Roger Booth and Donna Philpott handicap. Interesting race here. There's no scratchings at this stage. Gee, it's open. Sovereign Award. We spoke to Danny O'Brien, I think it was yesterday. He gave a really good push for Sovereign Award, saying that starting to race a bit more generously. Still wanted to get its head up last up when it won really well first up. It's the favourite at $3.20. Maxi Mac, $6. Arctic Shock at $7.50. West Wind, another one, who raced really ungenerously last start. And then the rest are all around about the $14 to $12 mark. Tricky race, this one, for mine. How do you see it?
Ungenerously, West Wind, that's been kind. She was wobbling around like you after a few too many Cardinays, actually. So, if you're on Somerset Maugham, you're absolutely filthy because it no doubt cost it the race. But that's another story.
Sounds like you were.
I was, actually.
Dave used to said she wasn't used to Maddie Cartwright, who was a left-hander, using the whip on the left-hand side, and that may have been one of the reasons why it was so unusual.
Right. Okay. Well, I hope that's all, because you wouldn't want to be... You'd be a little bit nervous if you're a jock looming up on the outside of West Wind as they started turning at the Valley, just in case she
did also make
did the same
point
thing.
That if she did win last start, which she was unlucky, she'd be a lot shorter than $7.50 from the good barrier tomorrow.
Yeah, and if the track is playing to those on speed, she is right in the game. I think she gets to the fence... Brim comes across with her, whether John Allen wants to push on and lead or whether he's just happy sitting up sides with West Wind. I thought they were the two most likely to, you know, be in that 1-2 spot. Leal will be handy, as we know, drawn 9, so it might be in a tricky position there. A horse like Soaring Eagle from 3 also likes to kick up and hold a position, so a little bit of speed there. Not gross tempo, I wouldn't have thought. Sovereign Award, she's a big girl. Just wondering, she's still sort of learning, still getting the hang of racing. I'm just wondering if the Valley being in back behind horses, if that's going to suit her. We've seen her win there in the past. Brim nearly kicked on her and beat her that day. And Sovereign Award was well into odds on. She had all the favours in the run. You thought she was entitled to run away from them there, but she couldn't. I'm just wondering if she's a better horse on a big track at the moment. I'm going to be guided by how the track is playing up to this point, because I like one that's going to be back in the field and running on, and that's Jungle Jane at a massive price. She was very, very good at Lakeside 2 back on heavy ground, and then at Hillside last time, it was that funny day where they all wanted to come towards that outside section. There was that lane sort of midway outside of the track. Luke Nolan, sadly for him, got absolutely snookered, just the way the race sort of, he was blending into the race. He had a horse sitting outside him that just was holding him in, one inside him holding him in, and two in front of him. Jungle Jane did not go to the line extended there. She is ready to win. If they can run on and get into the race, she is well and truly in the game here. If they can't, I'll probably wait for another day. So just be guided by how the track's playing.
All right, well, that's a nice little value selection prior to the quaddie. Jungle Jane, $18. That'd be your play if you can run on.
If you can run on, yes.
All right. Race number 6 is the first leg of the Quaddy, the Michaela Claridge and Mel Tyndall handicap, over 1,200 metres. This is Dino's best of the day. Wilmot Pass at $2.60 for Sam and Anthony Freeman. Good luck to Sam. Looking for a winner on his first day officially in partnership with his old man. Jamie Carr rides, gets a good barrier. Condos Express is the next bet. Next best. Titan Blinders, who Troy Corson said would be giving a really strong push for if it had drawn a barrier, is next in the market at $7. Pretty short Wilmot Pass. Is that its right price, $260?
It's short enough, in my opinion. He can win the race, drawn inside. Does he get the room, or does Jamie Carr get the room to get the horse out and rolling from two? I would have thought he'd sort of lob midfield here. It's going to be up to Jamie to get the horse out of that sort of position and into clear running. I just hope it's not a case of out too late and flashing home. The win at Flemington was good and tough. It's good enough to keep progressing and get to this sort of level and keep winning. Yeah, I'm not madly confident, though. I thought the speed was definitely Sir Callahad and Rolling Moss. Titan Blinders is airborne at the jump outs. From a better gate, he would have been the top pick, and I would have been happy to back him each way. But from 10, I'm just worried. I think John Allen might get caught three wide here, which might not be ideal. And the knockout chance is Dexalation from Adelaide. Good form around Octane. That should level out to this grade. Brimavi Vahiro through that race as well. Agalette, Arkham Knight. You know, those sort of horses would show up and run okay in a race like this. Santa Caterina over from New Zealand. She would get back in this field, I would think, doing her New Zealand videos and be hitting the line late. Again, that might not be the pattern on the day. Tricky start to the quaddy for me.
You haven't mentioned Condos Express, the Valley Specialist.
Well, he would probably be my pick just on the basis that he's a very good horse at the Valley. You know, he's genuine sort of listed Group 3, three-year-old form around this deck last year. And has drawn three, probably lands in that position, third, fourth, fifth, something like that. And I suspect Michael Walker will try and keep Jamie Carr in a pocket, as Wilmot Pass is drawn back inside them. I think that little tactical edge, I just went with Condos Express on top.
All right, so Condos...
Not mad confidence, though.
Selection at $5.50. Quaddy, first leg, how many do we need?
I'm going to throw in a handful, 2, 3, 5, 7, 10.
2, 3, 5, 7 and 10. So that is Dexalation, St. Katerina, the Kiwi, you're throwing in there, Condos Express, Titan Blinders and 10, which is the favourite.
Just have a look and see how the track's playing, though. If it's playing one way ahead of another, just... you might be able to trim some of those run-on horses.
Race number 7 is the Vale Robert Gaylard. This is an interesting race again because we lose Salzamore, but Polly Gray, who Dino was very keen on this morning as well, comes through a couple of nice runs at Flemington over the 2,000 metres. Mahamadeus, who was punter's pal for everyone last week and was so dominant, is on the back up. Heavy run, and then we're out to Miramar. So I don't see why Mahamadeus can't win again. That Polly Gray form line may be stronger from its last couple of runs, though. How do you line them up?
Yeah, I'm really interested to see Polly Gray here. She did not have the best of luck at Flemington. Probably on two counts, she was knocked down at about the 500, the 550, when she was just trying to blend into the race and get going. But prior to that, and probably more damning, was the muddling tempo in that race. She got worse in midfield on settling. It was just hard for horses to run on, given the speed of that race. The speed looks even here. Tavi Run is probably the one that will lead. Salsamore comes out, but Miramar and Mossendale will be there to hold their positions on pace. Sir Pippin might be handy too, or look to sort of try and get a box seat position somewhere there from 7. There'll be a little bit going on, but I think Tavi Run ultimately controls the race. Hopefully it rolls along at a nice enough tempo for Polly Gray to get over the top. But I think they're the main two, and I'm including Savaheat as the other one in the quaddie, 7, 8 and 9.
So you're expecting Polly Gray to get back?
Yeah, I would think so. That seems to be her pattern overall. So I don't think they'll try and change things here. And they probably can't. Damien Lane's dictated to a little bit from 8. I think he has to go back.
Confident selection?
Depending on the track. I can't be confident without knowing how the track... I can't sit here and say, yeah, back at Rah Rah, and if it's a leader's paradise, I'll look like an absolute banana. So it's...
So if you can make grand, though, you'd be willing to have a crack?
I'd be willing to have a bet on her, yeah.
Right, Polly Gray. Reasonably confident selection, depending on the track pattern.
Yeah.
How many in the quaddie?
7, 8 and 9, just 3.
7, 8 and 9, so that is Polly Gray, Tavi Run and Savaheat, you're putting in.
Yeah, Savaheat, yeah. Going well.
$19.
Yeah, going really well.
You're barring Mahamadeus?
I'm not barring it. I just think back in trip, it's got the weight to carry. I'm just trying to work out where it lands here. Yeah, I'll leave it out.
No Tabby Run?
Yeah, Tabby Run.
Oh, hey. Tabby Run's in. Sorry, no Bedford, I mean.
No Bedford. No Bedford.
What, wants a wet track?
Yeah, I just think that race was a bit odd last time. I'll take it on. He's going well, Bedford, but he will get back and run on. He'll need a really strong tempo, I would have thought.
All right, that's the second leg of the quaddie. The third, the Ladbrokes, over 1,500 metres. It doesn't get any easier here, Shark. The market has Winning Partner at $3.70. Sakut, who was Dino's Rama Ruffy this morning. Now, that's because there wasn't much value around. It was $7.50 when Dino tipped it. Not surprising now, into $5.50. Tatanka's an interesting runner. Gee, it's been racing well. $7. And is trained by a gentleman who is looking for his first winner in town. And it is great to have a chat to Bob this morning. Bob Donat joins us. Bob, you've got this horse flying. How are you going, Bob?
Yeah, going good, Michael. Yeah, no, he's going all right.
Gee, you must be wrapped with that last run at Caulfield.
Yeah, no, very happy with him. Yep.
How long have you been training for, Bob?
I think I got my licence in about 1979, a bit before your time, Michael.
Wow-wee. How many runners in town do you think you've had where you're a genuine winning chance?
Oh, probably half a dozen. Ran a few
tomorrow
seconds.
Tomorrow the day?
Down. Ran a few seconds down there. That's the closest I've got.
Hey, Bob, I spoke to you about 18 months ago about this horse when he was just coming through the grades as a three-year-old, and you told me he'd end up in town, so you were right on that front, but you also told me there was a younger brother or a half-brother that was showing you a bit. Where did it end up?
Yeah, Quahadi, he's been running around a bit. He ran third here behind that thing of Hawksy's, the two starts ago here, that $500,000 job. He ran third to him. It's just he's a bit immature, that's all.
One to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, he's gone out for a spell. He hasn't got the same attitude as Tatanka. He's just a little bit squibbish. But he's a nice horse.
Gee, you've done a brilliant job with him because he's just had the 14 starts and you've won five and run second on four occasions. So he's got a ripping strike rate and he seems like he's adept on all surfaces. It's not going to be that wet tomorrow. Are you happy with a soft five bordering on a good four? Would you like to see it a bit wetter for him?
Yeah, I probably would, only because that, you know, puts a few of the others out of action sometimes. But I think he can handle both. But 50 Boone Mooney Valley, I think he'd be fine on that going.
What's your expectations tomorrow? Have you done the form?
Yeah, I've done the form. I was a bit worried when I seen one scratch and that thing of Paddy Payne got in, but then I noticed it's running today, so I'm always worried about him.
He's a good trainer, Paddy Payne. Who do you work with up closely at Bendigo? Who did you learn the trade off?
No, I've only been in Bendigo for 12 years. I'm from Kiuna, back with Darryl Archer and Jimmy Lake. They both came from Kuna back when we started. We had to do it tough back there, though. We had to go around, make our own tracks everywhere, ask people, could we grade their back paddock to make a track? And it was hard times.
Oh, well, you'd be living in paradise then up there at the Nursery of Champions now. Have you dared to dream? He ran so well at Caulfield last start. Have you thought about winning your first race in town?
Not really. I'll just take it if it comes. I'll be quite happy, though. Don't worry about that.
Unfortunately, you won't be able to have a big celebration. How would you celebrate the win?
Well, it looks like it's just me and the wife going, so I'll have to be on good behaviour. She'll have to drive home. I know that.
That is a must if you do win. You'll need to have a couple of celebratories on the way back. So all in all tomorrow, Bob, shall we have a little something on Tatanka?
Well, he hasn't done anything wrong since his last run. He's been working superb, so the track rider's very happy with him. So I can't see why he can't run good. It's just, you know, when you get down there, they're all on similar terms a bit, aren't they? There's not much between them all.
Well, Bob, we'll be cheering him home, mate. It'll be a great story if you can get your first winner since training from 79 at the Valley in town tomorrow.
Yep. And say g'day.
Good on you, Bob.
Hey, Dad.
What a character. That would be the story of the day if he could get home. And do you give it a chance?
I do. Yeah, he's a pretty tough horse, Tatanka. He was very wide and just on the back of the speed there last time. And just kept coming to the line, kept staying on. He's very, very brave. I spoke to Bob about trying to buy this horse about 18 months ago.
Oh, is that what you reckon? Yeah. You wanted to take his best horse off him?
I was trying to buy it. And he said, oh, no, I think I'll end up in town with him one day. And I said, yeah, I think you will too. And lo and behold, here he is. Well, so it'd be great. I'd be stoked for him if it could win. Yeah, he's definitely in the race. And Barrier 5 gives Dylan Dunn the chance to sort of stalk that speed. And he should be right there at the finish, I would have thought. There's a little bit of pace in the race. I sort of thought Surreal Image, given how, you know, it likes to race. We all know the apprentices got it wrong last time at Caulfield in front, running along at the speed they did, but I don't think Lockie King will make that mistake twice. It'll go forward. Do You Reckon likes to get forward and lead? There are a couple there that probably want to go forward but don't want to charge along, Silent Command and Owlsvin, and they've both drawn inside. So much of the speed is drawn towards that inside section with Do You Reckon out wide. I think Tatanka's just going to land in a really nice spot here to get a good trail in behind them. Again, just watching the tempo and how the race is, the day is unfolding, rather. If it's on speed, I think Surreal Image, a little 1x3 each way play might be the way to go.
All right.
Back Lockie King to get that tempo right today, and the horse is going very well.
All right, another value selection. Surreal Image, $17. This is going to put some nice juice into the quaddy. How many others do we need?
Oh, you can chuck a heap in here. This is a tough race. 2, 4, 5, 10, 11, and now it gets a run, 15.
2, 4, 5, 10, 11, and 15. Although Bob was saying that he's... can you look up Street Tough? He said he's going around today at Geelong. So,
okay.
2, winning partner. 4, which is Battle Talk. 5, which is Tatanka. 10, which is Owlsvin. 11, Surreal Image. And the 15, Street Tough.
Yeah, Street Tough is in today.
Emergency, which is running today. So you don't need to worry about Street Tough.
Should be something to beat at Geelong today.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're going to give us the winner of the last. You're going to give us your best.
Definitely.
Your quaddy and your Friday tip.
Well, we got one.
At Geelong today as well. All that coming up on the Friday Form Focus.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Friday Form Focus, Sharky, race number 8, race number 9, in fact, is the final race of the day. We'll whip through your selections here and then want your best of the day, your quaddy. This is a tricky race because the best couple of horses, as far as the market's concerned, Hypersonic, you would imagine, is not going to get a start, which means the market will totally change. We've got 2 scratchings.
Yeah.
We need another 2 for
more.
Hypersonic to get a start.
Mm.
If it runs, is it you're on top?
No. Regardless, I like Proper Rogue. I think back around the corner from a good gate, Jamie Carr. She's got a good book of rides tomorrow, Jamie Carr. And I think this one's probably the best of them. Drawn to land just behind the speed, coming that first wave as they start to turn. First up run was great. The second up run just didn't look like it changed legs and got into that good closing speed that it does have. I'll back it to bounce back.
All right, so 9 on top. Quaddy numbers?
Quaddy numbers, again, just not sure of scratchings here. I'll just make sure I haven't chucked one in. No, 2, 7, 9, 16, Riyadh. Which gets in.
Yep.
And if Hypersonic gets in, put it in.
Well, so you got reasonably tight in the last leg for an open race. Zebra Kate, Montenegro Man, the 9, which is Proper Rogue, and 16, Riyadh, which has got the run. But Hypersonic, if it gets a start, throw that in the quaddy as
well.
Just a couple of quick ones off the SMS. Blood Oath, any chance?
Yeah, good chance. Has jumped out really well. Probably class might test it a touch, but it is going well, ready to win.
And any concern first up? For Condos Express?
No, it's had a couple of jump outs again. I think it'll be ready enough to win. Well, what are they really targeting with a horse like that? You've got to be up and going to try and capitalise.
Best of the day at the Valley?
Brooklyn Hustle. Hoping the track is, and there's enough speed for it to charge home.
Any
I think
edge
there
way
is.
Plays we should be doing?
Again, if they're running on, and we should have some idea by race five, Jungle Jane, a little each way at $18, I think is a decent bet.
All right. Now, the Friday special.
Yeah,
this
it's been
is what
second
we
last
it's a
like
nice meet
four, three last Geelong 4 weeks.
Today. Yet there has been some angst around the traps that you're not hitting the mark on the Friday, like you had promised.
Need to get them just to what finish off a bit
today?
Better. Race three at Geelong. Blondo's going to be favourite, but I want to back Criminal number 11. Quite unlucky there first up. Nice horse by Pride of Dubai. It's going to get some ground in time. That run at Sale was really solid. I think stepping up to 1,300 metres second up. Inside gate. Hopefully Jai McNeil sees some clear air. Be hard to beat.
All right, Criminal. $4.20. Race number 3 is the best. Have you got a selection in the Grand National?
The Grand National?
We'll talk next week.
What are you talking about?
It's on Sunday. The Grand National's on Sunday. It's the race of the weekend. We'll talk more about it tomorrow and on Monday when you're there for the verdict. It's good
Get
luck.
Through Friday and Saturday Hunting, before Sunday.
Bring some fish come Monday. We'll take a break for the news on the other side. It's a preview of today's Geelong meeting with Ray Huxley.